Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Genuine Chit Chat. This week is part two of my movie chat with Alex Hart and my always fabulous co-host and girlfriend, Megan. Now, I won't bore you too much with the details, because obviously it's a movie chat, so it's pretty self-explanatory what you're going to get. But just to clarify, we don't talk about any spoilers in this film. In fact, there's a really light spoiler, like a really small one about Detective Pikachu at the end. But I wouldn't say it ruins the film or really affects it in any way. But that's the only spoiler I can think of. Everything else we talk about, there's no spoilers with Joker and Avengers Endgame and a few other films as well. We talk about, films and then also how fame affects people. And me, Alex, and Megan all talk about how much we love Paul Rudd. So those are basically what you can look forward to in this episode. I will just say, I said in part one as well, there was a little bit of a mic issue with this one. One of my mics didn't record. It's my bad because I'm an idiot, basically, simple as. So I had to use my backup, and my backup, as you'll be able to hear, isn't as good quality. It's only on Alex's side, unfortunately. So you can hear by this intro and by me and Megan, that's the general quality Genuine Chit Chat normally is. It's just that I messed up, so Alex's mic wasn't being used right. So essentially, in that regard, it basically just means that if you're a new listener and this is your first time, then it's not always going to be this low quality, in a sense. So just want to preface that and warn you guys before the chat gets started. And there will be a quick promo for the Comics and Motion podcast. I've collaborated with those guys loads of times. I think I may even mention them briefly in this episode. I can't remember. But Comics and Motion, absolutely smashing podcast. Absolutely love those guys. And yeah, that's really it, guys. Trying to keep my intros a little bit shorter because I tend to ramble quite a lot at the start. So I'll be back at the end just to chat about what's coming up and what you can expect from Genuine Chit Chat and the usual sort of additional information. I tend to ramble a little bit more at the end of the outro because, you know, people listen that far are generally more interested. So yeah, thanks as always for tuning in, guys. Follow on the usual social media channels and I'll talk to you at the end.
We are Comics in Motion.
I'm Dave, the comic nerd.
And I'm Chris, the TV and movie geek.
You can download our show from your favourite podcast catcher.
We review TV shows and movies that are based on comic books.
So if you can come along and join in the fun, that'd be super.
Welcome to Genuine Chit Chat, where we have honest conversations with interesting people. And I'm your host, Mike Burton. Let's loop back to films, and we'll just say films this year. One we got to talk about, which we've all seen, is Joker. And obviously, we won't say any major plot spoilers, even though there's only it's not barely a plot, but it's just a journey of one guy. And I found that a lot of people who haven't seen it yet, I say go watch it, but don't expect too much because it's brilliant and it's such a good movie. But the problem is that it's got so much hype behind it now, it can't live up to the expectations of the hype. So everyone's hating it because they're expecting it to be something it's not.
I really liked it.
I think depending how much you also, one thing that you can get from this film, how much you appreciate movies, you'll like this film more.
Yeah, the cinematography, the editing.
I'm getting old now. I'm only 21.
You're not 21, fuck off.
I now get irritated. It's not, I don't know, you know, I'm not a grumpy person, I'm, you know, a happy person, but I people that don't understand film annoys me, because you can watch any film, right, and you know, it's good, it's bad and stuff, but then some people are just ignorant to the actual meaning of films, because there's a lot, you know, some films have a lot of meaning to them.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that's what some people will miss from the Joker as well.
Yeah, so they're expecting flash. Because, like, Heath Ledger's Joker, he's incredible, he's deep, he's dark, but he's quite flashy because he says a lot of cool one-liners, he looks badass, and he does loads of cool badass things. But the Joker in the movie is, it's a slow burn, but there's moments of brilliance.
But this is the thing, is that it's a different
iteration, take
on it, because it's not, because all the other films that have had the Joker in, the Joker has already, he is the Joker, like that's him. Whereas this film is the progression of how it happens, which makes it more interesting because you see why he gets to that point and why he becomes the Joker.
One ever to not rely on source material, isn't it? They've rewritten the whole thing just
because I think Batman Killing Joke is the main Joker origin story, which I haven't read that yet. I've got the graphic novel, but I haven't read it yet. Yeah, I've heard the animation of it's good, because it's basically just the comic, but purely animated, isn't it?
But yeah, the film itself, I think, is amazing.
Yeah.
The small things they got, you know, what I really like, when it came out, they had a lot of people working in, like, psychologists, basically. Okay. They all reviewed the movie of how realistic it is to someone with mental illness to break down and, you know, miss social cues and all this crap that he was presenting. Because with my field work, probably with you, Megan, with working as a teacher like me, especially with how I work with trauma-based children.
Yeah, because you're a lot more, you're basically SEN kids, isn't it? But like trauma-induced SEN kids, essentially.
Yes, that's it. Brief. And, you know, I have to work this daily of, you know, small things that, you know, tick for these
the little children. Red flags and things in the sun.
Yeah, but in the film, you can watch it and you can, you know, I think if they were to do a training for my type of job,
yeah,
get them to watch the Joker and try and pinpoint all these little things.
Yeah.
Fucking hundreds of thousands of things.
Yeah.
Really, every scene has got these small triggers and stuff that you could, as a psychologist, like people when they're reviewing it, you can tick them off and be like, but,
it's interesting to see how much stuff gets missed and what actually can happen from it. It's kind of nice to have it. Well, it's not nice, but you know what I mean? Like, it's good to have a film that shows some sort of recognition as to how badly treated people with mental health problems can actually have it, especially in America. Like,
in America, it's even worse than over here.
Disregarded. And I think that's the powerful part of the movie is, if you know more about how the brain works, more of a masterpiece than most people think. If you ain't got one thing, I'll say, if you ain't got enough budget to go to the cinema, you can watch King of Comedy. It's basically the same.
I haven't seen King of Comedy, so.
Yeah. Basically the same film, and Robert De Niro plays his character of Joker, but in that film.
Oh, really?
Not the same character.
But like a homage to it almost, like a nod in a sense.
Yeah, the film Joker is basically Taxi Driver and King of Comedy. He said this in his interview.
That, yeah.
You know, those are the two films that inspired him to make this film. He put them together and
Yeah. Well, the thing I'm worried about now is when they initially released it, they said it's just going to be standalone. It's not connected to anything else, and they're going to make a sequel.
What? They can't.
No, they will, and it's not going to be very good. That's the problem.
It's just going to be so shit.
It's not going to exist in my world.
I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to do the Robert Pattinson Batman. If that does well, then they're going to release a Joker movie that's going to have him somehow interact with Robin Pattinson's Joker.
Robert
Pattinson's Batman, rather.
Don't do it.
They're going to do it, though, and you know it. That's the problem. They can't just have one-off cool movies anymore, unless you're Danny Boyle. But then even Danny Boyle released, you know, Trainspotting 2. Granted, there's two.
One day, whenever this comes out, I'm going to ignore everything I see of it. I'm going to ignore it. But I want you to phone me, Mike, and you tell me, okay, it's all right, it looks okay. All right, other than that, I'm going to go into a hole.
It depends what thing is, it depends what genre they go with. Because if they do superhero, like actual superhero, they're going to completely ruin it. But if they keep it with a... The problem is, I don't know how much further they can go, because it's basically, the whole story is obviously of him basically slowly getting to breaking point and then snapping. And it's like, you can't really replicate that without taking away from the original film. Because if they do Joker 2 and they start off a few years after Joker 1 and he's kind of half repaired himself, it's going to be, well, you're just going to do exactly the same again. So it's going to lose all impact. Oh. But if they keep him already broken, it's going to be what? Well, it's just going to be a mental case.
Yeah, but surely the second film would just be him as the Joker, which is something that we've seen over and over again.
You know, it's always that, you know, it'll be a weaker film.
Yeah, exactly.
Feel like disjointed.
Yeah.
Like, the first, it was good.
I'd love to say to someone, you know, 10 years' time, have you seen The Joker? It was an amazing film. Not, I've seen the first one, that's really good. Second one's not very good.
There, but that's what always happens.
It always happens.
It happens. It's so rare to have a sequel that's genuine. There's a couple of circumstances you can have a sequel that's better. And 9 times out of 10, it's because there was already source material. You know, with Harry Potter, or with Lord of the Rings, or with Star Wars. Actually, Star Wars is different. I didn't mean to say that. But, like, when they've already thought out they're going to have a trilogy, they're going to have a set of films. And if there's books, it's fine. If they've already, from the starting film, gone, right, we're going to make a trilogy, this is the first one. Yeah. Sequels can be better. But usually it's they make one film.
It did really well. It does
so well, they go, we need to make a second film for money. It's a lower quality, but it's normally okay. And then they make a third one that's wanked.
It's just annoying. It's just like trying to get blood out of a stone, really, isn't it? It's just them trying to make more money for the sake of making money. But that's how I feel about the Fantastic Beasts franchise.
Yeah, the second one was just dark for no necessary reason.
Just crap.
The second one, I mean, I don't like any of the Fantastic Beasts films, but the first one was okay. The second one was absolute pure shit. And I'm a massive Harry Potter fan.
So am I. And I watched the second one and I was like, there's some really dark stuff in it for no apparent reason.
But then, yeah, it just is redundant. Like, my students talk to me about Harry Potter because they know that I like it. And they're like, oh, which is your favourite Fantastic Beast? Like, which is your favourite Harry Potter film? And they're like, oh, mine is Fantastic Beast. I'm like, no. I'm like, that is not Harry Potter. And they're like, oh, but it's to do with the Wizarding World. I'm like, yes, it's the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. It is not Harry Potter. Do not even try and compare the films.
Yeah, I know. Everyone knows that The Prisoner of Azkaban is the best Harry Potter movie.
Fuck.
Ah, no.
Off.
Everyone knows.
That's Prisoner of Azkaban is one of my least favourite Harry Potter movies.
Carry on, Mark. What were you
going to say? I love... I think Prisoner of Azkaban is cracking, but for me, personally, I think the best one... I think Goblet of Fire is my favourite, but I think the eighth one is probably the best. Just it's one of the very few films where you actually get the end of a film franchise and it's not disappointing. Lord of the Rings did the best one, because Lord of the Rings Return of the King is one of the best ones ever made.
And
but
The Hobbit and the third one was at work. Same with Grease, though, innit? Grease was, you know, came out...
I haven't seen Grease.
Grease was so good, and they came out with the second one. It's so shit.
They stormed it, didn't they?
Same as Mean Girls.
Huh? Oh my god, Mean Girls 2 is absolute dog shite.
Oh, I love watching films that are just dog shit. Yeah, you know, there's shit for the sake of shit. Because, you know, I would love... You can put those films on and go, watch this fucking garbage. Watch this burn with us and we'll have a few drinks and gabbing and everything.
Yeah.
This is. Can't wait to watch Grease 2 with my mates. But then some people really try to make a sequel and it's still dog shit. And then you can't just go, oh, let's watch this because...
It's the so problem shit. Is a lot of the films in superhero genre or that sort of thing is that if they're not amazing, they're almost pointless because, like, this is what I felt about Justice League, is that Justice League,
I have seen that one.
I think Justice League is actually okay as a movie, but I think the problem is that if it came...
Podcasting movies and he says that, you're going to get... Lose
but the thing is I want to clarify... No one likes me anyway. I want to clarify. Justice League, I think Batman vs Superman is a pile of shit. I think that Justice League
I was so confused in Batman vs Superman, but that's because I haven't seen any of the other ones.
You don't need to. It's just a confusing crap movie. But
all the movies on your... thing here,
yeah.
Just working out if they've got a sequel, if they're good.
The thing is that with, I will say with Justice League, my problem with it was the main villain was shit and the ending was crap, but as a film, generally, it was okay. But my problem with it was, it had some kind of funny moments, it had some kind of cool action scenes, but it's like, why would you even waste your time watching Justice League if you can watch any of the Avengers movies, which are funnier, better production, less disjointed, the action scenes are better, like every conceivable point of Justice League.
I've seen Justice League. It's DC, isn't it?
Yeah, Batman and Superman.
I don't remember it that much. I saw it in the cinema, but I don't really remember it.
I think it's amazing. I think it's all right. I just think the problem is that why would you even consider watching it if you can watch a film that's infinitely better in every single way?
Exactly.
It's pointless. And that's the problem with a lot of sequels. They make a sequel to Joker, it's empirically, objectively...
No, it will be shit.
Unless they pull some sort of million-in-one trick, it can't be better than the original.
What the fuck is wrong with them?
It's money, isn't it? Todd Phillips wants to make money and Joaquin Phoenix wants to make money.
No, I don't think he wants money.
He doesn't care, but obviously he wants to be a good actor and a big actor. And the way he's going to get... I mean, this is going to blow him up because, like, a lot of people have never heard of him. Even though he's been in film for so long.
People don't realise he's River Phoenix's brother.
Well, yeah, but a lot of people don't know who River Phoenix is.
I don't know who that is.
Well, have you ever seen Stand By Me? You know
well, I just told you I haven't
seen
Stand
that
By
film,
Me.
So.
Huh? I know how River Phoenix died, though. He died in that bar, didn't he? Yeah.
Oh, is he dead?
His brother's dead, yeah. His brother died years ago. It was like the late 90s, I think. Yeah. There's this bar that I think Johnny Depp part-owned or something.
Yeah.
And it was like one of the roughest bars in Hollywood or something. And people used to go in there and get into fights and just get killed. And
Jesus Christ.
I think there's a curse. People believed there was like... I don't believe in curses, obviously. But it was nicknamed or known as like the Cursed Bar or something because they kept having bar fights and people would get killed in really weird, random ways. Like, someone just get punched once, hit the floor, dead. So, just like that.
Why did it not get shut down?
It did. That's why it's not there anymore.
Right,
it got shut down within, like... It wasn't open for that long, but there was quite a few negative things that happened in that.
Yeah.
I think... I can't remember if River Phoenix was killed in a shootout or if he was killed in a...
River Phoenix died, but yeah.
It was some sort of brutal way in that bar. It was pretty horrendous.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's... I mean, I've only seen Joaquin Phoenix in a couple of things. I saw him in Inherent Vice, and that film was awful. But
I haven't seen him in anything else.
Film that was.
Oh, that sucked. I was a half hour. I just couldn't get into it. None of it made any sense. How much are you into the... we won't spoil Avengers movies because Megan hadn't seen them.
Yeah, I haven't seen the majority of the Avengers films.
Avengers movies. Obviously, Endgame, without spoiling it for Megan, I thought I was cracking. I didn't think
it was fucking awesome.
I didn't think it was as good as Infinity War, but I think it's damn close. I think they did it.
Damn close. The music's better.
I think the end scene, though, the big, you know, there's obviously a big battle scene because it always is in every Avengers movie. I think the end of Infinity War is better than the end of Endgame.
And someone always loses a hand in Avengers
films. No, he just died in the overdose, by the way, sorry.
Was it overdose he died of?
It was outside the Viper Club.
Oh, so it was near the club, okay.
Outside, yeah.
It must be someone else. We are talking out our arse then.
Yeah.
And then we saw Spider-Man Far From Home, which Megan has seen.
I loved that film.
It was so good.
Because I saw the trailer for it and I really wanted to see it, but I hadn't seen Spider-Man Homecoming. So we watched that. Film. I loved it. It was so goddamn good.
It was really
We watched Homecoming and Megan was like, that was good, but not amazing.
I got bored of Homecoming. I got a bit like fidgety during that film.
Yeah, I'd say for enjoyment value, I'd say the second one was actually more fun. And the chemistry, you know, it's still a teen movie.
Oh, yeah, 100%. All of the characters interact in such a good way. Yeah.
Other superhero movies, other than like Ant-Man.
I think Ant-Man Guardians of the Galaxy, but she hasn't seen Ant-Man yet, but she loves Paul Rudd.
I love Paul Rudd, but I haven't seen Ant-Man.
Oh, Ant-Man's so good.
Both of them are so good. Yeah, and then when Ant-Man gets into the Avengers movies, it's even better. Like, oh, I love it.
And Living With Yourself has to be mentioned quickly.
Oh, that's like, I haven't seen that yet.
I haven't seen that either.
I've heard it's good, though.
It's really good. Paul Rudd. And Paul Rudd's in the new Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yes, you know, I heard about that, yeah.
Paul Rudd should have more. Paul Rudd is just...
I love Paul Rudd so goddamn much.
He's probably one of the best people in the universe at the moment.
I think one of the best stories I knew about Paul Rudd is that when he's... Because he's in Captain America Civil War as Ant-Man. And he... Because he's obviously not a big actor like all the other ones are, like a big superhero. Like obviously, you got like Robert Downey Jr. in it and people like that. And he's just mainly a guy who's been in indie films and comedies. Mm-hmm. But he's still a great actor and stuff. And apparently on set, when they would like stop filming, he would run out and grab the Captain America shield, like be posing with it. And they'd be like, Paul, you need to put that down. It's like a really expensive prop. And he's like, no, I am Captain America. And then it's like confiscate it off him because he was
seems
just like
a really nice guy.
Yeah, I've seen all the interviews. Apparently is. I like to find out if celebrities are nice.
I try not to look into it too far because sometimes it upsets me.
Yeah.
I found out that Philip Schofield was an absolute twat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We were talking about him the other day, weren't we?
Yeah.
I love him and Holly Willoughby. So I love their relationship.
Very nice. Very nice to wear out off a set. No, I just ruined that for you. Bradley Walsh, apparently amazing.
The one from The Chase.
Yeah. He seems really cool.
Someone who's not very nice, that apparently, is the guy from...
Is Edward Norton, you're going to say?
No, Rocket Man.
Taron Egerton?
Yeah.
He's not very nice.
Not. I've seen him in a few interviews now.
What?
Really?
Who is
Kingsman. The main guy.
Yeah.
Well, funny enough, he's got like... In Kingsman, he's got like a proper like chavvy accent. But you actually look and he went to like... I think it was like Cambridgeshire or something. He went to like some acting school and I was like... The guy he's taking the mick out of in Kingsman, I have a feeling he's actually quite like that person.
Actually, he is.
Apparently, Edward Norton is an absolute horrendous person.
Edward Norton?
So is,
he's in Fight Club and he's in...
Is he the main character?
Yeah, the one that's not Brad Pitt.
Yeah,
There's a few apparent twats.
But I listen to a podcast with Edward Norton with Joe Rogan and he seems like a really interesting, smart guy, but I think he's probably just... I think sometimes some of these actors get so wrapped in their roles and things get so stressed on set that they basically just take it out on
they lose
other people.
Like, was it Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now? Like,
apparently he was apparently Marlon Brando was an absolute cunt.
Who
Marlon Brando? Apparently he was awful.
Oh yeah,
the guy from June, Michael Cera. Apparently he's an asshole.
Really?
Very nice.
Man. Yeah, apparently he is an absolute twat.
Really?
Apparently, like, I think I remember he freaked out on set once and there's like videos online of he's just screaming at people.
Christian Bale, again, not a very nice person.
I've heard Christian Bale's not that nice as well.
His rants are fucking crazy.
Yeah, there are a couple. I think I've heard DiCaprio's alright, but I think DiCaprio is like another level above everyone.
He's a massive environmentalist, isn't he?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, he's
I've heard that.
He's like God tier now.
Yeah, I've heard that some. Him and Johnny Depp are in that sort of realm because I think.
Nah, Johnny Depp is nuts, isn't he?
Yeah, Johnny Depp's. No, but I mean, their fame have gone up. But yeah, Johnny Depp's gone.
I would say Leonardo DiCaprio is higher up than Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp hasn't done anything recently.
Yeah, I think he is now.
DiCaprio is like. I don't think he sees us as people.
No, I think he... Apparently, I've heard... there's someone who was talking on a Joe Rogan podcast and he said he went to a party with... And DiCaprio was there. And apparently just DiCaprio's got like... Any house party or anything he goes to, he's got his own area everywhere. And
Jesus Christ.
He basically goes... He just sits down and he basically just has people all around him. And he can just... I think he was saying like, he almost like summons people. He'll basically just... speak to someone and everyone would just go quiet and then this person would just walk forward and sit down with him and then everyone kind of goes back to talking again. It's like, because he's so famous, so rich and he's so big now that you can't ever get to his... And apparently he's not that bad to work with, but I think he's quite intense. I think he's like a really, really intense person.
Yeah, because he likes to get into the thing. Because for The Revenant, didn't he? He did some like proper character acting for The Revenant.
He's not a method actor as such, though.
Method acting, that's the thing.
He gets, well, it's like he, apparently though, because like when he did Django Unchained though, he didn't like saying, he didn't like saying the N-word constantly. And apparently Samuel Jackson said to him, dude, like we hear this all the time. Like just, we're not offended by you saying it in a film representing racial problems. So it's fine.
I love that film.
Yeah, it's a cracking movie.
Man on the Moon.
Oh, that's that film that Jim Carrey did a documentary about as well, didn't he? I haven't seen that yet.
See how fucking weird that is.
No.
I mean, Jim Carrey is nuts.
Actor, right? Jim Carrey just absorbed the role, but then just became the person, but not in like a way which is, you know, good for the film. It was generally like...
Because based on some sort of famous artist or something, isn't it?
No, it's based off the comedian.
Oh, comedian.
The really weird guy. His sense of humor was really weird. But Jim Carrey became him, basically.
Did he have like a weird breakdown or something?
Yeah, he had a breakdown. But then he was falling out of people on set because of attitudes. He was like the person.
What comedian was it? Is it the one that died?
He did die, yeah.
Wait, the one that died on stage?
No, that's someone recently.
No, it fucking wasn't. Who's the one that died on stage that wore the fez?
Yeah.
Oh, Tommy Cooper.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Tommy Cooper.
Everyone thought it was a joke, so no one tried to help him. Everyone just watched him die because they all thought it was an act.
Yeah.
So backwards.
So brutal.
Man on the Moon, which is Jim Carrey, 1999. Life of Andy Kaufman.
I've never heard of him. I don't know anything about him, I just know of.
But yeah, no, he just fucking went absolutely mental. So there's a documentary about Man on the Moon.
Yeah.
Man on the Moon is a film about Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
There's a documentary about Jim Carrey as the role of Andy
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he basically was him through the whole of the film. Didn't come out of character and he was pretending to be Andy Kaufman. And he was, you know, really fucking pissing people off. He was acting like he was him. He's not mental.
It was like a Disasterized. And they're like,
that's class.
That's a great movie. Have you seen Disasterized? I can't remember.
Is that the one about The Room?
Yeah.
No, I've not seen it, but I have seen The Room.
Yeah, because with Jim Carrey, he's basically stopped doing acting a lot now, and he basically had like a mental break. Do you remember that,
weird
Emma Stone video? Do you remember that? That was weird as fuck. Yeah.
I mean,
I do understand why celebrities just lose their mind, because imagine she's not having a normal life anymore. That's why Billie Eilish is so fucking depressed.
Yeah.
She's a lot happier now, but last year and the year before, she was in dark place, man. She was going to kill herself.
Yeah.
Her family forcing her to do all this shit that she didn't really want to do. And people just lose their mind. I can imagine it, right? My life's boring most of the time. I just can imagine people there all the time just watching me and shit like that.
I think the problem is being an actor. The problem is being an actor and stuff is what happens is you have to try and go to all these auditions and get constantly rejected all the time.
Yeah.
And then you finally get a job and then it's really, really, really intense for like months. So waking up stupid o'clock in the morning, doing the exact same thing over and 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 over again. And then you put all that work into it and then the film gets released. And if you're lucky, people praise you. If not, they hate the film and they call you shit. And then that's a big weight on you. But also, when you become super famous, you can't just walk around the corner shop and buy a loaf of bread because you just get harassed by people. And it becomes this weird thing where you become sort of
It's even like having like an actual social life, like going out drinking.
Yeah. Oh, God. Can you imagine going out to town with The Hobbit, like drinking, and then everyone knows who you are? Like,
yeah, I just wouldn't like it. And people behind the curtain out there still, you know. I'd like to be in production of films, which would be really cool, but then people don't realise. That's what I'd like to do, make films without them knowing who I am.
I'd like to be kind of Corey Taylor famous, as in the singer of Slipknot, where he's famous enough where if he goes to like alternative places, people recognise and want to take photos and he's prolific. But if he just walks around, especially because he's in Slipknot and they wear masks, you don't have to recognise him. It's like Sia. She obviously always covers her face.
It's a very smart way to do it, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. A lot of those sort of artists, like I used to when I was younger, I was like, oh, I'd love to be famous. But now I'm older, I'm like, no, I'd love to be...
absolutely hate
now
it.
Now I'm older, I'd love to be rich, not famous. You know what I mean? Like,
I'd be rich. I'd live in a bin in
like, what's the Muppet?
You guys heard that.
What did you say?
No, my stomach just rumbled.
Oh.
Rumbled in the jungle.
I'll try to make a note of like a 120 your stomach rumble, see if we can hear it, and then I'll just jack the volume up. So it's like...
There's a storm of ruin.
I would hate to be famous. I hate going, it's less so now because I don't work in the same town that I live in.
Yeah.
But even when I did live in Andover, getting recognised by students, kids seeing you and being like, oh, look, it's Miss Gritty. It's like, please, no.
Yeah.
Just let me live my life.
I actively avoid seeing students from school.
I don't have any issues because, I mean, I work an hour away from where I live. So
But if I go, it always happens now. If I go to the shops near the school after school, I'm always going to sit and do another bit of a rumble there. But yeah, I've seen a few times, but then I've actually walked the other direction to not have that conversation with them.
Yeah, I went to Costco the other day and bumped into two of my ex students from the school.
Okay.
And they were like, "Hi." I was like, "Hi."
Well, this this podcast is going off the rails, so we'll loop it back and then we'll end it in a moment.
Wild.
We'll end it in a moment. let's quickly talk about. I want to hear your opinion on. There's three films.
How many films have you actually got on there that you could talk about? Because what I'd do is, if there's ones that you can't, we can go in time for. I'll sum them up in a noise. You give them to me. I'll sum them up in a noise.
Okay, Detective Pikachu. That was good. I will say Detective Pikachu, stunning film visually.
I liked that film
visually. Visually stunning. I like the I can't wait for more Pokemon movies or stuff to come out, which, and then there will be one amazing one and the rest will be shit. But
I also like the fact that we got little headbands when we went.
Yeah, that was fun. We got little Pikachu ears,
little Pikachu headbands.
Yeah. I felt the plot was quite weak, and the fact that, you know, mild spoiler alert, Mewtwo is in the film and he's bad. And he's not bad, because if you watch Pokemon the first movie, it follows on from Pokemon the first movie, because they even reference the first movie.
Yeah,
so you're like, you know he's not bad. So at the start, it's immediately, well, that's clearly not it. And then it's like, who could this Pikachu character be? It's like, well, the only character who's ever mentioned in the whole film who isn't in it.
Yeah,
it's so obvious. It's like, I'm not going to say exactly who it is, but yeah. But yeah, I thought the film was good visually, but not that plot-wise. It Chapter 2, what's your noise for that?
Yeah.
How do you think?
A word, no.
All right, Yoda.
Yeah.
How do you think it compared to the first one? Do you prefer the first or the second one? I personally prefer the first one.
First one's a very good introduction to the whole character series, books and stuff. I thought it was really good. But there's a lot you can take away from the second one. Like, it's more in depth. There's a lot more story going on. The characters have got a lot more to do.
It is also a lot longer though, as well.
They're one of those two films. I know they're a bit full on from each other, but. I wouldn't class, you know, it's hard thing to explain. They're very different films.
They do
feel very different. You're right there.
Very different film. But it's good because the first one is aimed for the children. They're going for this stuff, which is what the second part of the original series missed. Was it was so boring. They went too much to the adults.
Yeah.
Stand By Me for the first one, which was really good for the part one, the original. And then they went old as a book for the second bit, which was just like, fucking hell, turn the page.
Yeah.
But then the new one, they made it, you know, updated it, they made it grown up, they made it a different type of film, and I think they hit up with a team, you know, it's smashed out the park, really.
Yeah, I thought, I was sceptical when it was how long it was, and I was like, 3-hour horror movie, can I deal with that? And then you get about 2/3 through it, and it doesn't feel like it's been on for that long.
It doesn't, it doesn't feel like a long
time. There's a lot in it.
I think the second one freaked me out more than the first one did, and I'm not going to spoil it, but the spider bit freaked me the fuck out.
You know, that bit was horrendous.
I hated that
was,
bit.
I was watching it, I was looking for sick, and I watched the spider legs grow out. I was like, it was brilliant.
Absolutely awful.
Loved it in the film because it's so creepy, but that's the thing. It made you feel that guttural feeling of disgust.
Mm.
But yeah, it's almost, to a lesser degree, but almost like Alien compared to Aliens, where same world.
Thriller,
yeah, horror. It's not quite, because Alien and Aliens are a lot more different, but it's almost like a diluted version of that difference,
in a sense. I like it.
Yeah. Cool. And then the other one I want to ask about is, it's actually quite a small film that a lot of people haven't seen, and we watched it on the plane, which is Fighting With My Family.
Oh, man.
That's such a good movie.
I've never had a film that made me smile so much this year.
Because I love that film.
It was so pleasant.
Nick Frost is just brilliant.
Yeah.
Mark Johnson is amazing.
It's Lena Headey. The one who plays Thingy in Game of Thrones.
Really nice film. And I smiled the whole way through it.
Yeah.
It's just really warming film. And I think that's a really nice film to watch.
My favourite bit about it is the end, when it shows you because it goes based on a true story, and you always hear those films based on a true story. Every horror film says based on true events. And then when you watch Fight with My Family, it says based on a true story, you go, okay. And then it ends, and then it shows you the footage of the actual family and the girl really talking about it. And you go, oh, so I think I listened to a podcast of Steve Merchant, who directed it. And obviously him and The Rock made it together, because The Rock just basically hit Steve Merchant up.
I love The Rock.
The Rock is great. And he's in the film, obviously, and he's great in it as well. And it's like, I was a bit skeptical because like a wrestling film, and I was like, I really don't like wrestling. But you watch it, it's not about the wrestling at all, really. It's like the wrestling is just a theme to put over it. But because it's a true film that actually happened, And when it all ends, it's just inspiring. And you watch the footage of the actual family. It's lovely.
It's one of those films, though, that I've not really heard much about. Like, literally, the only reason that we watched it is because it was an option on the plane when we were coming back from Mexico.
I chose that because Scroobius Pip mentioned it, because he did the podcast with Stephen Merchant. And I love Stephen Merchant from... He did lots of other things. He's been quite a bit of an actor recently, because he's obviously in Logan.
Jojo Rabbit.
He's in, yeah, because he's one of the main Nazi guys, isn't he? So I love Steve Merchant as an actor, and I think he's such a brilliant guy. I like hearing him talk, and he's got a really cool like a posh Bristol-y sort of accent. And then he was talking about it, and he was like, oh yeah, I'm here to promote my new film. They didn't really talk about that much. They spoke about The Office and that sort of stuff quite a lot. But they were like, oh, I'm here to promote a new film, fight with my family. And they spoke about it for like 5-10 minutes at the end. And Scroobius Pip was like, I already like wrestling. This is Scroobius Pip talking. I already like wrestling, so I was going to probably watch it anyway. But I wasn't, in a brutal honesty, I was kind of, I didn't know what to expect. And then I was like, I came out of the cinema, bloody loved it. It was so good. It was one of my favourite films of the year. And when I heard him say that, I was like, I'll have to see if I can give that a go. And then, on the plane to Mexico, it was like a 10-hour flight. And we were like, it was on there. And we're like, oh, I don't know if it's going to be any good. And we watched it. And
I really liked it.
It ended and we were both just like, that was just so nice.
It was a really nice movie. And I love that feeling it gives you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was absolutely cracking. A quick honourable mention is Toy Story 4. Really good film.
Very. Didn't see it, so I'll sum it up with a.
it's a good film.
I liked it.
To be fair,
it was quite creepy in parts.
Oh yeah, the ventriloquist dummies.
Yeah, it was ventriloquist dummies, and they were freaky as fuck.
Yeah. And Jordan Peele was in it. I think it's Key and Peele actually.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, the fuzzy bunny things. Yeah, they're really funny in it as well. And it's one of those films where it's not the best Pixar Disney film. It's not even the best Toy Story film.
It's not the best Toy Story film by far,
It's probably the worst one, to be fair. But it's still really good. It's just a fun, easygoing movie.
Above the rest for most films, that's it. Yeah. Some films, it's the weakest of all, but the weakest is still a lot more than most films.
Most kids' films, I say nowadays, most of them, when you get... They normally release, like, you get one film a year that's like the Emoji Movie and things like that. Just wank.
That film was so shit.
And you get other films that are that sort of crapness, essentially, for lack of a better word. But then most of them, like, whatever the flagship one for DreamWorks, obviously this year was How to Train Your Dragon 3. That was a great movie. All the How to Train Your Dragons are great.
I am genuinely really surprised that came out this year. That makes this year feel absolutely insane, because I don't remember... I remember seeing that film with you, but I don't remember watching it this year, which is mental to me.
Yeah.
Down on TV, and I remember just at the end of it, I don't know how, I got some dust in my eye. And just,
yeah, I also remember being in the cinema and getting dust in my eye.
Where is this coming?
They must have set it up so that everybody gets dust in their eye. They I did a media quiz at work the other day with some of the guys in my tutor group, and in my tutor group, and one of them was a film thing, and the music for How to Train Your Dragon came on, and this kid automatically knew, like, it was within seconds. He was like, How to Train Dragon. I was like,
right,
what? It's like, How to Train Your Dragon. And then I heard a little bit more and I was like, yeah, you're right, but mate, that was fast.
I was gonna say, last two films really. Have you seen Shazam or Zombieland?
Seen Shazam. I watched that quite recently.
Yeah, I was quite disappointed with that.
I didn't really like it that much.
There's some funny bits in it. The kid with the wonky leg,
yeah, he was
he's on the show.
He was the best in it.
Post-credit scene
in the cafeteria.
One of the best fucking things I've ever seen.
What?
In the cafeteria, without spoiling it in the film, the kid says something about, I've got a really good friend, and then one of the bullies is like, what did you bring to school? And then right at the end he does.
Okay.
Yeah, the film was general.
I found that the comedy didn't hit the mark for me, though.
I watched that.
The comedy was way too young for me.
Yeah, and as soon as I watched that film I told you about, which was mid-90s.
Oh, yeah.
And that film engrossed me straight away. But Shazam, I was in and out watching it.
I just felt a bit meh.
Yeah,
I know how much I enjoy a phone, but how much I look on my phone.
Yeah.
Because there's some films, I'll turn my phone off, throw it at the other side of the room.
Yeah.
But then some films, you're just like, oh, I'll do that Angry Birds level now. there we go. What's on eBay today? While you're watching the film, and you don't know how much you're into it, but then some things, you're just like, phone doesn't even need to be looked at, you forget it. And you're just like, engrossed in the film.
Yeah.
And that's how much I can.
Yeah, I felt like Shazam, I heard so many good things about it, and then I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing, because I was being quite disappointed with DC, and then I watched it, and I was like, this is still just middle road. I was like, it's not bad. It's all right. It's just that, once again, the DC are trailing behind Avengers so much. It's like, why would you watch Shazam if you can watch Ant-Man?
Yeah,
like, they're not the same film, but the comedy element and the superhero element are quite parallel in a lot of ways, and they're both Ant-Man 1 and obviously Shazam, they're both silly, fun, child-friendly superhero films.
Yeah.
And they're much more leaning on the comedy side than the action side. But Ant-Man is just infinitely better. Same as Guardians of the Galaxy, same as
Yeah, Uber. As someone who hasn't seen a lot of superhero films, which I haven't, from what I have seen, I do much prefer Marvel to DC.
Wonder Woman was the only exception.
I haven't shown her that yet.
Looks really good.
I haven't watched the trailer, but I've got it on Wonder Steelbook.
1984.
Yeah. Wonder Woman is really cool. I'd say Wonder Woman is basically like a poor man's Captain America 2, almost. Or Captain America 1, rather. It's like... Actually, to be fair, I think Wonder Woman is better than Captain America 1.
I would agree. That's what I was about to say.
I think that Captain America 2 destroys Wonder Woman, but I think that Captain America 2 is one of the best Marvel movies.
Yeah,
but it's they're different, but it's still definitely worth a watch. Like
Captain
Wonder
America
Woman,
is Marvel, isn't it? And then Wonder Woman is DC.
Wonder Woman is the best DC movie they've made.
Yeah, by far.
Aquaman,
see, I thought for me,
I liked Aquaman.
It's probably Wonder Woman then Aquaman.
Yeah, I would say that. But that's me still saying I don't like Aquaman. So that's, that's the second one out. It's not showing much of Justice League or Batman vs Superman, is it?
Oh, Batman vs Superman is so fucking bad. I hate that film. It's so crap.
Bullshit.
It's one of the worst ones I've ever seen.
My brother made me watch that and I was really confused all the way through.
Oh, it's fucking wanked.
Yeah, it's terrible. I was going to say, the only other film I've got written down really is Zombieland 2, which you haven't seen, have you?
No, I wasn't too fast.
It's fun.
It's one of those ones I'll wait until it comes to
TV. I would not rush.
I'll wait for Glass. I'm glad I waited for Glass on that.
Yeah, I haven't seen... Because I still haven't seen Unbreakable. I've seen...
Just watch Unbreakable.
Split. Yeah, because I've seen Split, which is actually really good, but...
that is good.
Well, I think... I found with Split, it was... If it wasn't for James McAvoy, like, he stole the show again. He is so... But every time the camera's off him, I don't care. Because obviously, it's kind of like a horror film-ish, and it's about the girls kind of being chased by this thing in a way. But I didn't care about any of the women. I just didn't care. So I was like, if any of these people die, I don't care. But what I do care about is how cool James McAvoy was. But yeah, Zombieland 2, it's good. It's fun. It's funny. It's worth a watch.
I remember
if you like
it making
Zombieland.
Me laugh out loud.
Yeah, it's really worth a watch. The problem is it's not worth buying, I'd say. I'd say it's worth watching on Netflix when it comes out as a one-off with a couple of mates having a laugh. But there's no point buying it because... It's like, it's just worse than the first one. So when you watch it the first time, it's adding to the story, the lore, whatever.
Yeah.
But when you've seen it, it's like, well, if I feel like watching a fun zombie comedy film, I'm either going to watch Shaun of the Dead, I'm going to watch Dead Snow, or I'm going to watch the first Zombieland film. Why would I watch the second one if it's just a bit worse?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's more or less. Are there any honourable mentions you want to give out for films? Because there's a couple we have mentioned. Like, we want to see Ready or Not, but...
I really wanted to see that film, but we were too late on the mark.
Story. What's
sorry?
That?
Ready or Not.
Marriage, Ready or Not, fantastic.
I really want to see it.
We will.
Marriage, on Netflix.
Yeah.
Ready or Not, show up that film.
Is that actually good?
Really good.
Awesome.
Really good. There's a lot of comedy in it.
And Alex is very much a horror aficionado compared to me.
Is it like scary?
Thrilling, I'd imagine.
Thrilling, yeah. There's a few bits that make your heart race, and I like that. It's what I compare it to is the film where the people with Animal Mass is British film.
Oh, it's Them, Us, Next. One of those. You're Next, isn't it?
You're Next, yes.
I haven't seen that.
So Your Next is... I think Your Next is still better, but I think it's just underneath.
Right.
And I also did think it was another actress for a long
time. Yeah, she looks a lot like Effie from Skins.
Oh, you thinking that? I was thinking of the one from Wolf of Wall Street, what's her name?
Margot Robbie?
Yeah, I thought it was Margot Robbie for a long time.
Well, really?
It wasn't Margot Robbie.
She looks like a combination.
Who's your honorable mentions?
I've pretty much written down all that. We haven't gone to the cinema as much as we wanted to.
Yeah, this year's been a bit of a...
But it's probably been the weakest year of films, I'd say.
Yeah, go see Joker or watch it. That's a good one.
Well, yeah, I mean, really, obviously, Star Wars, I'll say I watched Rise of Skywalker. I'm going to be doing a separate podcast all about Rise of Skywalker on... I think the podcast of VHS Strikes Back, part of the podcast Star Wars collaboration thing I've been doing, like an add-on to that. But I would say Rise of Skywalker, it's good, but it's not amazing.
I liked
it. It's very flawed. The problem is I won't mention them because I don't want to spoil it for Alex, but there's so many plot holes. I wrote it on my phone. I wrote about 6 plot holes on my phone, like straight after watching the film, which is quite upsetting for something like that. And it's just a bit of a repeat of...
That's it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just continuity, isn't it? Because Star Wars always has plot holes.
Yeah, that is the problem.
Consistency is the word.
It's got consistency issues, but that's because of George Lucas.
Oh, Midsommar, we didn't talk about that, but yeah, go see Midsommar.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Doctor Sleep, I thought was really, really good.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
We want to see that as well.
The Lighthouse, I didn't see that, but that is top of my list of films to see.
And are there any films coming out? Because I'm going to be releasing this in 2020. It's going to be the first week, I think. Well, I can't release this in the past, so. Ooh. Are there any films coming out next year that you're really, really pumped for? Like anything you're
excited? Parasite comes out on the 1st January, I think, which is a new Korean movie. Looks amazing. Go see that.
Obviously, I think Ghostbusters are next year, isn't it?
To Die.
Oh, the 007.
The new Star Wars. Not Star Wars, James Bond.
Funny, I haven't actually seen any of the new James Bonds except Casino Royale.
I haven't seen any of the James Bond films with Daniel Craig.
I saw Casino Royale. I don't actually like James Bond very much, but I know your dad loves it, doesn't it, Alex? Isn't it your dad who loves James Bond, that and Doctor Who?
That was Simon.
Oh, you mate Simon, okay.
Yeah, he passed away last year.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
He was the one we did the quiz with, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah. That's a shame. Yeah. But the, because with 007, I find that all the plot is basically the same every film, and I can't really get along
the
with it.
The new one looks amazing.
We saw the trailer, it looks incredible, yeah.
Fleabag is writing it, the main lady.
Oh, I've heard Fleabag is incredible.
I've heard Fleabag is really good.
I don't know anything about it.
The biggest joke ever, though, apparently, New Mutants, is coming out this next year.
I really hope so, because that film, I think it's going to suck, but I want it to be good.
I think it's going to be good, but they can't fucking...
It keeps getting pushed back.
3 years ago. Like,
well, this is what I mean. That's the biggest problem. New Mutants is, you know, X-Men, Megan, generally, you know.
I know of X-Men, yeah. Yes. Well, I've not seen them.
New Mutants is a film where there's X-Men who are basically is people put into a facility like an asylum and they're experimented on. And I think they become.
They either
become mutants or they already were mutants and then they have to escape. But they've all got these powers and they have to escape this asylum. But it's meant to be like it's the first superhero horror film. That's basically
other than Brightburn, but it's decent.
Yeah, and it's not anti-heroes.
No, what other film? Kingsman. No.
Oh, because
I haven't seen the second Kingsman.
It's kind of like Zombieland. Sorry. It's kind of like Zombieland comparable. It's like it's basically objectively as good as the first one, but because it's basically the same, it's not as good.
Hmm.
Even the end is basically the same as well.
I really like
Free Guy. Looks really good.
Pardon?
Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds in it.
Oh,
he's the NPC.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Him being an NPC in like a video game.
Yeah. Just like Puckett and everyone. The Gentleman, which is
we saw the trailer for that recently.
Guy Ritchie's new film.
Matthew McConaughey. One? It's like
we saw the trailer for it. Oh yeah.
I want to see that.
That one's got a mixture of British and American actors, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's got Hugh Grant in it. I didn't recognise that it was Hugh Grant because he's got like a Cockney accent.
Free Guy. Bloodshot, which is alright, Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Scoob.
Oh yeah, the new Scooby-Doo movie.
The first bit looked really nice and then they fucking ruined it. Death on the Nile, fuck off. Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh, I found that so boring.
No fucking way, but they've got the same guy, whatever his name is. He's doing one called Death on the Nile. Fuck off.
Oh, it's the guy who plays Lockhart in Harry Potter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Gilderoy Lockhart.
Oh, that actor, he's not a bad actor, but that film was so bland.
Antlers. That is a new horror film that's coming out next year. Del Toro's making it, and that looks awful.
Del Toro's, is that the one that made The Orphanage?
Yeah, and Pan's Labyrinth. And
I don't like Pan's Labyrinth.
And Blade 2 and Hellboy. Yeah, see what I mean? So she doesn't like Fight Club. She thinks Empire Strikes Back is the worst Star Wars movie, apart from Attack of the Clones.
I don't think Empire Strikes Back is the worst Star Wars film.
She thinks that Phantom Menace is better than Empire Strikes Back.
Huh?
She thinks that Phantom Menace is better than Empire Strikes Back.
It's because,
you suck.
No, it's not because I suck. It's because all that happens in that film is that they go to the fucking Dagobah system. Luke Skywalker does some handstands. Yoda sits on his feet for a bit. And that's pretty much the premise.
It's
the Dagobah system.
It doesn't matter how you pronounce it, really.
It's the Dagobah system.
In Star Wars.
Fucking good out there,
I mean, in Star Wars, everyone pronounces everything differently. Think about Han Solo and the Millennium Falcon. People call Han. Some people call him Han. And then the Millennium Falcon. Some people call it the Millennium Falcon. Some people call it the Millennium Falcon. So it's just like
me and Han went on a gap year to
and then I chundered everywhere
the Dagobah system, and it was just very messy.
I don't really know.
Yeah, to be fair, whenever I say that I don't like episode 5 that much, it's a lot of people send hate my way.
Phantom Menace isn't a bad movie. Phantom Menace isn't a bad movie. It's not as bad as Clone Wars.
Oh, you mean Attack of the Clones?
Yeah. Clone Wars is the series.
Yeah, you think that's the worst one? So a lot of people think that.
I can't. Clones. Yeah, I can't stand. See, I think Attack of Clones. It's so shit.
I think it's better.
Well, there's a couple of redeeming bits of it with the animal fights and stuff.
I think the last. I think the last 40 minutes of Attack of the Clones does redeem it.
It's just so goddamn
bland. And I think
bland.
The Anakin. I think the Obi-Wan storyline in Kamino is good, but I think that the Anakin stuff is so.
It's
fucking
so
bad.
Shit, and there's just
and it's such a huge amount of screen time.
No one has any personality in it, and also the annoying. Thing is that I love Ewan McGregor. I know that Ewan McGregor is a good actor, but in that film, he is shit.
When Anakin is chasing those fucking hemorrhoids around the field.
Oh yeah,
fuck me.
It's like it looks like aesthetically like Sound of Music. Like he's like in the same field, but with these weird things.
Chasing
piles. I hated that film. Yeah.
Monster version of an ass pile around the fucking. Oh, and she's like, ha, bunny, ha, chasing around. And he's riding one.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see that coming. I'm on the back of one now.
Oh, and then he casually talks about fascism, and she's like, oh, you're so cute, Annie.
Oh, you're so cute.
So what would you do if someone doesn't follow your law?
Say,
oh, funny. It's like, what would you do if someone didn't follow the laws that you're theoretically putting in place, Anakin? Oh, I just get someone to force them to do it. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. It's like, that's literal fascism.
It's like, she's not a smart girl, is she? Didn't pick up on the warning signals.
Yeah. For sake, man. Also, one thing you need to check out, I don't know if you've seen this, is that in the French edition of the film, it's so much fucking better.
What, is it better because it's worse?
No, it sounds just awesome.
Really?
It's so much better. They're just like, oh yeah, I'll have to stretch you after this podcast.
Yeah, well, definitely.
It's fucking class. And, yeah, it's just they changed it a few little bits about it, but it's class. The French edition version is so
good. Have you seen, we'll end this podcast in a second, but have you seen the, someone has remade the Obi-Wan Darth Vader fight scene from A New Hope.
I sent it to you.
I couldn't remember who sent it to me.
I sent it to you.
Yeah.
And then Mike made me watch it, so thank you.
It was good. They read the editing of it. One thing, there's a YouTube channel where they take films and they change things up. They did some on Star Wars to make it gory.
Oh, really?
Recently, and it's fucking awesome. And there's a bit with the start of the last one, the last of the trilogy, new one, the old ones.
Oh, Return of the Jedi.
No, it was the other one.
Oh, the prequels. So yeah. You mean Revenge of the Sith?
Revenge of the Sith. There's a bit of the start where they're in the
cockpits and shooting and stuff.
Yeah, and there's a bit of the monster dies, he crashes and he burns at the start. Yeah. They changed it and it made it really gory and he's talking to his little daughter and their little. Tanoi.
Oh, I
he's
see.
Like, oh, I come home for Christmas and he's like, oh, fuck, I'm being shot. And it's like, oh, fuck.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, I have to show you a few things before I have to go. Shooting up,
yeah, that's cool. But we'll finish this up. Well, Alex, as always, it's lovely having you on the podcast just to talk about films.
On the 18th of January, guys, this is coming out.
That's not when it's coming out. It's going to come before that.
On the 18th of January, didn't guess.
I'll put his address in there so people can send you gifts.
Send me postcards.
Send me postcards.
Everyone in Wales listens to this podcast. I love you. I live in Neath boys. Yeah. What up, Swansea gang?
I was just going to wait until you how far you're going to go with saying random Welsh. Please don't.
Pembrokeshire lads.
The Pembrokeshire lads.
Yeah,
sound like assholes.
Candice Lambs. Yeah.
It's like Gowerton, a football team.
Hobgoblins. the Pembre tortoises.
Are you saying that because you looked at our tortoises?
I'm looking at things around the room. Yeah.
The beige sofas?
The beige sofas of fucking Snowdonia.
Land we
bless you. I will keep going.
Well, that's not.
I will stop. Okay. So I need to.
You need to Van Gogh. Okay. Well, lovely speaking to you as always, Alex. And... I love you too. Bye.
And that's the end of the podcast. Thanks as always for tuning in, guys. Next week will be my chat with Janine Mercer of the Odd Entity podcast. That's going to be a two-parter. I've got a chat with someone on Tuesday regarding sort of mental health and that sort of subject matter. I imagine I'll still release the Janine Mercer one first, but if my guest on Tuesday specifically asked for the episode to be released on the weekend, that should be fine because Janine said there's no specific rush to the episode with her. I've then also got another two chats with people. One is with a podcaster, the other is with another author. That's all for January recordings. I'm trying not to plan too far ahead because end of last year I just overwhelmed myself and had like weeks and weeks without having to record any episodes because I was so ahead. So I kind of want to try and get the happy medium in that regard. I'm going to try and do some more collaborations with podcasters and things. I'd played the promo for the Comics in Motion podcast of this part of the episode. And anyone who's been following Genuine Chit Chat at all knows that myself, as Genuine Chit Chat, collaborated with Comics in Motion, VHS Strikes Back, and the 20th Century Geek podcasts. We had an episode on the channel just before Christmas where we reviewed the sequel trilogy, and we also did predictions for episode 9. And also on 20th Century Geek, we did an overview of the prequel and the original trilogy, and on the Comics in Motion / VHS Strikes Back feeds, we did like a deep dive into A New Hope. So all Star Wars related stuff. And on Monday, I'm basically recording the episode 9 review. I believe that's going to be on Comics in Motion or VHS Strikes Back's feeds. They're both hosted by the same two people. So VHS Strikes Back and Comics in Motion have separate episodes and things, but with these collaborations, I think they've been putting them on both. So yeah, I just thought I'd flag that up as well to you guys. Obviously, when that happens, I'll talk in the intro when it's fully released, and I'll include links and stuff. But if you really like that Star Wars collaboration between the other three podcasts, and you're interested in my views on episode 9 being such a massive Star Wars fan, I lightly touched upon it in this episode, but I will say in this episode was after I'd seen it the first time. I have actually watched it twice now, and I'm less disappointed, and I did enjoy it a lot more the second time. That's a bit more fun. But keep an eye out for that and general stuff. Reviewing on iTunes is always appreciated. Reviewing anywhere there are reviews is always appreciated. Sharing on social media is really appreciated, and spreading via word of mouth is too. I don't put any money into advertising for this show. I rely on word of mouth, cross-promotional things, and guesting on other people's shows. So anyone who likes the show, if you check out the back catalogue, if this is your first time, I've got chats with everyone. Not literally everyone, obviously, that would be a lot of time wasted. But there's, you know, movie chats, musical chats, chats about mental health, about religion, about politics, about relatively everything, I'd say, apart from sport and cars. I think they're the only two things I haven't had like a huge amount of discussion on those. But, you know, check out the back catalogue. And as I've said to people, on YouTube, almost no one listens to it. But on YouTube, I have put playlists showing sort of in genres of certain chats that are more funny, some that are more serious, some about movies, some about this, that, etc. So if you're a listener and you like the show, obviously you can contact myself, you can email me or contact me in any of the social media places, and I will respond and give you recommendations. But if you don't want to wait that long and you want something quite quick, just go on YouTube, check out the playlists there, and you'll find them there. Or on Instagram, I've got snippets of most of the shows, so you can go and check those out too. But I'm going to stop rambling now at the end of this, guys. Thanks as always for tuning in. I appreciate each and every one of you listening, especially this far. And I'll talk to all of you next week.